How are teachers in Kansas and Missouri evaluated? At a time when education funding is under scrutiny more so than ever, what's the process that our states are using to separate good teachers from the not so good? Turns out that elaborate systems are in place, the process is complicated, and many teachers are feeling disrespected by their states. With us to talk about it this morning are Christy Levings. She's the former KNEA president and Kansas State director for National Board of Professional Teaching Standards. And Christy, welcome. Nice to have you.
Good morning.
Dr. Paul Katnick will also be with us in just a moment. He's assistant commissioner of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education for the state of Missouri. And finally today, Bill Bagshaw is here. He's assistant director of accreditation and educator evaluation for the Kansas Department of Education. And Bill, nice to have you too. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, let's just guessing here, Christy, but evaluating a teacher can be pretty tricky business and awfully subjective, or am I wrong?
Well, I don't think you're wrong that it's tricky, because it is complicated. You're talking about a professional who has to incorporate many, many skills and talents into the work they do. So it is a complicated process, but I don't know that I'd call it tricky, but complex. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be complex. It needs to reflect where that person is in their professional development.
Bill, how subjective ultimately is it?
Well, I certainly think that that's a concern. One of the things that we've done in Kansas is assisted our school districts. We have 286 in identifying a quality system. And we spend a lot of time talking to them about inter-rater agreement.
What does that mean?
Well, it's what is it that you're seeing? It may be as simple as defining what it is you're looking at, whether mm-hmm. you're differentiating instruction or, you know, whatever the verbiage may be. And then the other thing is that we have an electronic data collection system which offers transparency. So those who are involved in the process see that it's ongoing and it's transparent, and mm-hmm. therefore encouraging some of the lessening some of the subjectivity and certainly more evidence-based on those things that the person being evaluated and the evaluator agree on up front.
You know, Christy, do teachers complain that it's too subjective or not really?
If the system is a good system and teachers have had a lot of input and an opportunity, as Bob was describing, to understand it, then they don't complain about it. They understand what it is. And if it's a system that's complex enough to talk about where they are in their profession, you know, I always talk about the one size doesn't fit all, mm-hmm. that you wouldn't evaluate a first-year teacher in the same way you evaluate a 25-year teacher if you're smart. I mean, the standards may well be the same. And as the vice chair of the national board, there are five core areas of national board certification. And we know that accomplished teaching incorporates those pieces. And this is what Kansas has done, too, is setting up standards. So when people know what they're supposed to be looking for,
yeah.
you know, and it's not just a subjective thing where I come in your room and say, oh, nice bulletin boards. It's nice seeing you. I'll see you next year. That's an old, very bad system, but a system that really has standards and I know what I'm supposed to accomplish, teachers don't complain about that.
Well, Christy, you're making me feel better, but Paul, I'm still wondering, you know, it strikes me, I'm talking to Paul Katnick now, he's with the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. There are just so many variables here to think about when it comes to determining how effective any one teacher is. I mean, there's test scores, the luck of the draw in terms of getting smart kids in your class, the number of transfers at the beginning of the school year, the size of the class, the mood of any one evaluator that day. Am I right about that?
You're right. There's a lot of variables. But we did a lot of the similar, same kind of thing where we identified standards, we identified quality indicators. But then in terms of helping teachers improve, you have to be very focused. So we don't evaluate teachers on all of those indicators. We evaluate them on just a couple of those. And those indicators are tied to what students need. So this is all about how do we help students learn more, less than it is about how do we help teachers work on things that they want to work on.
Indicators, you're talking about what? That's one of those metrics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that means.
Right.
Yeah.
We have nine standards, and
right.
then we take a standard and we break it down into indicators to fully define what does content knowledge mean? What does teaching and learning mean? What does curriculum mean? And those are what we call indicators.
And are you saying you do not evaluate any teacher on all nine standards every year, or did I miss that?
Correct. We do a very general overview of the nine standards, but we focus on three indicators per year because we really want to see growth and improvement in a teacher's practice, and we want it to tie to what the students of that teacher really need.
How confident are you, as you look at all this, Paul, that you can make an average teacher a better teacher year in and year out?
Very. We've spent 5 years gearing up for that. The evaluation systems that used to be used 5 years and farther back were all about being compliant. They were all about helping get rid of the few, the minor majority of teachers who maybe aren't in the right line of work. It offered nothing for helping teachers improve. And so we spent 5 years trying to develop a system that's all about improvement, all about growth. When we piloted it with 20% of the districts in the state of Missouri, we found that we could absolutely see teachers get better at what they do. And your point is exactly right. Teachers want that. That's what teachers are looking for.
Bill, are you making teachers better in Kansas? How confident are you that's happening there?
Well, I think so. I think we have to be very clear about expectations. And like Missouri, we're doing similar things, fewer goals, fewer strategies related to the standards right. at one time and focusing on those. I think one of the things that's very controversial, particularly in Kansas and I think with a number of states, under our ESEA waiver, student growth has to be a significant part of the evaluation process.
Growth in terms of test scores?
Well, student progress, student growth. And again, that's something you can define in a lot of ways. But there is no apparent research that says definitively, this is exactly how this kid learned or this is when they learned it. And so to hold a teacher accountable or give them all the credit for that is kind of the conversation. It's like, well, did they learn reading from their teacher? Did they read a lot at home? Is it a gifted facilitator? Is it a remedial type? You know, who in essence is accredited with that performance? So we have to be very careful for the purpose of educator evaluations and ascertaining who did what in fairness to the educator, because it's a very difficult thing to...
Well, that gets back to the whole notion there's so many variables here, and how do you really give credit or give demerits to a teacher, you know, based on all these different things that are flying around at any one point?
Well, correct. That really gets into the whole conversation about multiple measures.
Mm-hmm.
And you've heard both of them talk about having good standards, but then you need multiple measures. And that sounds like a big fancy term, but what it means is you have to look at it more than one way. I mean, I know that we sometimes have elected people who keep thinking that they can boil everything down into one test, and then they can do it like a basketball score. Teaching and learning, as you just heard described, is way too complex for that. If I was a parent with a kindergartner this year, what I'd want to know is what are the things that the teachers look at to see how my child is growing over the year? What kinds of indicators do you have? As the teacher's growing and learning, are they looking at these indicators of what my child needs so that I know that they're actually learning skills? So if you go into a classroom and you have kids who need lots of English language learning, then what are the kinds of professional development things that are happening for those teachers in order to see those children grow? So it is really complex. It can't be boiled down. So I always talk about multiple measures. There's lots of things you can look at. You ought to look at what kids are doing in the fall and where they are in the spring. Mm-hmm. How do you measure that, both with classroom work, classroom assessments, district assessments, you know, some type of testing that we have. But there are people out there who want too much to boil things down to one simple thing, and it can't be done because kids are complex, learning is complex, and it's a complex system.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking this morning about how we evaluate our teachers, an issue that is very much in the news these days, a controversy all in and of itself these days. If you're a teacher and want to call us with your experience at being evaluated, how effective it was, I'd be curious to hear from you. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. Paul, you're our representative from the Missouri side. How many teachers a year in Missouri wind up being deemed ineffective and are actually released from service because of faulty performance? How many folks are we talking about?
That's really tough to determine. Mm-hmm. local or statute in the state of Missouri requires that evaluation be done at the local level. And so it's a protected piece of data in a teacher's personnel file. It's not something we collect at the state level.
It's not shared at the state level?
No.
Why not, given how much focus there is on the quality of our teachers these days?
You know, I think we have to do that. We have to be interested in the quality of our teachers, but we can use the research to guide how we do that and still protect the rights of teachers. There's been examples across the country, and I think the point is a great one. We have to be a little bit careful here. We're talking about folks' evaluation data and how public do we make that. And being a state agency, if we possess that data, then people can get it from us. So we're very careful about the degree of data that we collect.
Well, can residents, parents in Missouri, if they want to find out how effective their teacher is for their fourth grader, for instance, can they find that information out?
They can't go somewhere and look at it, no. But what they can do is talk to their administrators, which we would encourage any parent to do anytime if they have a question about their teacher.
Why can't they go online and just look it up?
Because it's protected data as a part of a teacher's personnel file.
Okay. How does the Kansas side handle this, Bill? What happens there?
It would be the same. There are ways, and as Paul mentioned, you can inquire in a district, for example. In Kansas, I think probably in all states, we have to provide certain data sets to the Department of Ed. And one of those is the quality of teacher performance, not individually, but as an aggregate.
Everybody, yeah.
How many teachers did you evaluate? At what levels of performance were they evaluated? What is the quality of your teaching? And you can take that and look at things like test scores, student growth measures, attrition of teachers, and determine if all those things are aligned to know if you have quality teachers in a district or not. So there's some ways you can make those inferences, I think.
Well, Christy, this is tricky, though, because in this day and age, a lot of parents might think they are owed that information. These are taxpayer-financed public servants. Why can't I find out if my son or daughter's fourth-grade teacher, how that teacher rated out on a whole series of metrics?
Well, nobody is collecting a whole series of metrics in a public format, for one thing. But I think that
whether it's public or private, that information exists. And as a parent, I want to know.
I think if you're as a parent and you want to know how successful students have been in that classroom and going to your administrator, they'll be able to provide you with a lot of information about how successful our fourth graders have been, how successful our fifth graders have been. That's different than getting into somebody's personnel file. That doesn't happen any place. I mean, teachers are no different than any other employer. You can't just walk into any place and say, oh, by the way, I want to look inside people's personnel files. It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really think that's what parents are interested in. Parents are interested in, okay, my child has done very well through the third grade. Should I be confident that my child will also be on level when they come out of the fourth grade? And I believe that the school should be able to provide them lots of information about that. The teacher should be able to provide them lots. And actually, through parent-teacher conferences and other interactions with the teacher should say, your student came to me in the fall at this level in these skills, and now we're halfway through the year. Let me show you the growth we've seen. And now we're at the end of the year. Let me show you where the growth it is. As a longtime teacher, I had many conversations with parents on a regular basis. Here's where your child has grown. Here are the things that you can. Here's how I see them being able to compete with other students. And are they ready for the next grade level?
Yeah. How we evaluate our teachers, that's our topic this morning. Our phone number, 816-235-2888. Barb from Kansas City, Missouri, a longtime teacher in Kansas. Good morning, Barb.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I taught for 33 years, both primary and intermediate, on the Kansas side, and now I supervise student teachers all over Johnson County for KU, and I can tell you that there's a lot of really great teachers out there, but you're not going to find out everything about them, as you guys have already alluded to, by just looking at students' test scores. They motivate kids to read more. They're just great teachers. There's a lot of intangibles that you can't touch, as well as the variables. But what I wanted to say was two things. Number one, and very different things. Really quickly, the principal is the key. The principal who evaluates is the key. And what we don't talk about, we talk about teachers and whether they're good or bad and all that. We don't talk about principals. There are some bad principals out there that don't evaluate very well and don't give feedback very well, partly because they haven't been teaching for a very long time. they can get rid of any bad teachers they want, anytime they want, if they just do their homework and get in the classroom and document. The second thing is, really good teachers who have really smart kids, it doesn't show up on the MAP testing that they typically use for growth in Kansas, so that what happens is that these teachers are penalized because their kids aren't showing growth, and yet they're really functioning at maybe a 10th or 11th grade level when they're in the 6th grade. So, I don't know. I think we're bending over backwards to try and make standards and do things that really it boils down to a good principal and also scores that actually demonstrate what kids can actually do.
Barb, thank you for the call. And I just want to reiterate here, Paul, the principal is the key, at least at the elementary school level, at the high school level too?
I agree with Barb. Yeah, principals are very key. We've spent the last three or so years working on training for principals because they have to be able to accurately assess teacher performance. And more important than that, they have to be able to have conversations with teacher about what better practice looks like. Mm-hmm. So we've invested a lot in helping principals do a better job at that.
Christy, hang on. Bill, in Kansas, the principal's the same key person when it comes to the evaluation process?
Yes, they are. And this is the first time under the Kansas Flexibility Waiver that principals are being held to the same standard as teachers. So when we're talking about teachers in Kansas, we're really talking about educators, meaning building leadership and classroom teachers, the same way. Mm-hmm. So it's a good point about principals and the fact that they need to do a good job in evaluation. And so that's certainly what we're doing in Kansas. They're held to the same standard.
Christy, Barb, our caller just mentioned this idea that if a principal, it's not that hard to get rid of a bad teacher. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Because people think otherwise these days in our
highly charged
environment.
That's really crazy, and it's never been true.
Mm-hmm.
But she brought up several good points, one about the building administrator. And we're really through an evolution, I call it, and we don't use that word easily in Kansas, but we're going 25 or 30 years ago, the role of a building principal was to make sure the building was clean and the heat was on, and it was the role just to make sure that the site worked. You know, in the last 15, 20 years, we've started moving into the principal as an instructional leader. And now we're taking another big leap as the instructional leader who really That's gets out ahead of these professionals, helps them grow. But you have to have the skills to do that. We have some principals that are close to retirement age. And to be really honest, they were not hired to that job. They were hired a long time ago to that building manager job. So we're having to help them and invest in them. And then you talk about professional development for administrators. That's really huge to help them become that run ahead person. But the other thing Barb brought up, she said she supervises student teaching. The recognition that when you want to make teachers successful, you start with them from a great pre-service program that's tied in to what really needs to prepare people for coming out into the public schools. And then you work with those first 2-3 year teachers and you get them, you mentor them, you get them up and going.
To retain them in the jobs and not lose them.
Yeah. Right. And to get them on the right road to do that. So at the National Board, we talk about the continuum and the continuum from entry level to the accomplished nationally board certified educator is a path. She's working with a very important part of the path. Mm-hmm. But she's absolutely right. Everybody has to be on board.
Paul, I don't want to lose this point that just got made, too. In Kansas, Bill just said it's easy, and Christy said it's easy to get rid of a bad teacher. How hard is it to get rid of a faulty teacher on the Missouri side?
Well, I would agree with these guys. I think it's sometimes it's a matter of will. Can you do the paperwork and the necessary background on a teacher? You have to do a couple of things. You have to be very honest with teachers about how you're going to assess performance. And then you also have to work with them and give them opportunities to improve.
Mm-hmm.
If you do those two things and it still isn't working out, then you can move on to someone else.
Okay. Let's go to Chris from Topeka. Chris, we're talking about how we evaluate our teachers. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, my comment was in the early 90s, my evaluation, the administrator never stepped in the room. He wrote on the evaluation, great outfits, dresses professionally, and I was asked to sign this document in the hallway. And my point is we've come really a long way since those days in having effective administrators follow the negotiated agreement that is done with both the board, the administration, and the teachers. And really, if they follow that agreement, that has been a great step in improving the teacher evaluation process. And we have come so far since the early 90s when I was dressed great.
That's
so,
interesting.
That's my comment.
Chris, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This notion of actually observing teachers' work in the classroom, how much of that is going on out there?
Well, you hope more than less. Mm-hmm. You know, the snapshot, if you would, in the dog and pony show that used to exist for the one day that a principal would go in and view a teacher for a half hour to an hour.
The teacher might know it's coming.
Should be gone. It should be it should be continual. You know, all teachers should feel as if they are being observed and evaluated in cycle by statute. But working together, getting support from administrators, and I think the one not directly is that this is all about the improvement of educators, helping them get better from where they are in their craft at this point moving forward. This is not about an I gotcha.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's some non-renewal. There are some teachers who are not as effective as we'd like them to be, and that's part of it. But this is all about helping educators get better and supporting them.
Well, Christy, one thing I'm taking away from this conversation is that the whole idea of evaluation and helping teachers get better, we're at a very different place in 2015 than we were in 1995, 20 years ago. Am I getting that correctly
here?
Absolutely
we are.
Yeah.
And we've learned that the tie between evaluation and professional development, that they're put together, that they can't be separated. So when I get feedback that my interactions with students in mathematics, I'm not following up on what students' questions are well, then that gets tied to I go and I look for folks who can demonstrate what that looks like, who can show me that, who can show me other math techniques. The two things had to be mirrored together. That's, we've made huge strides in that as well. And Chris's point, too, about what we used to do in the checklist, and I had those checklists where they said you have nice bulletin boards and, you know, that kind of thing. you know, I worked in a very premier district, and we developed collectively through the bargaining process, as Chris said, a highly effective evaluation system. But it drove the professional development program as well, too. And one of the things that I think has become very successful is looking at teachers actually observing, like videotaping. The National Board has a program called Atlas, where we're bringing forward videotapes of accomplished teachers. So a group of teachers can get together and watch an accomplished teacher create a lesson and then reflect, talk about what worked in that, what they could demonstrate from that. So we're making professional development very real, too.
Right.
And that's a huge step forward.
Paul, the other thing I'm taking away here is that how teachers are evaluated, say, in St. Louis might be slightly different than how they're evaluated in Kansas City versus Springfield or Tarkio, for instance. Am I seeing that correctly?
I think context factors in. But at the end of the day, good teaching is good teaching, whether it happens in an urban setting or a rural setting.
But my point is that this process of evaluation is a local process by each district.
It is. That's by Missouri statute. That's correct.
And same thing in Kansas?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just talk just for a moment about this whole notion of teaching to the test. You hear, again, lots of concerns out there that that's what's going on. Paul, what is that exactly, and how concerned are you about that?
Yeah, I think it gets back to Bill's point about we have to be very careful about how we pull in student growth measures. Student growth measures, in other words, how the student is performing on whatever metric you use, has to be done carefully because that's a snapshot of a day. What's important about growth is how does the student perform over time with this teacher. Mm-hmm. And another consideration is that those state assessments where we get that data is 30% of the teacher population. You have another 70% that teach in other grade levels, other content areas. So we very much generally look at what a student growth look like over time with this teacher, and we make sure that it's one of a set of balanced measures. It doesn't stand alone on its own.
So you're saying you can't emphasize the test scores too much. That's
correct.
A mistake to go too far with
it
that.
It is, absolutely. It should be woven into all the other things that you look at about this teacher, and not only multiple measures, but multiple years. Let's take a long view of how this teacher does over time.
But politically, Christy, that doesn't seem to be where lawmakers are these days. Lawmakers, you hear, I'm speaking very broadly now, many of them are saying, I want to see, you know, how any one teacher does based on test scores. You're hearing that all the time.
Someone asked me the other day what I thought was one of the biggest concerns in education today, and my response was political incursion into education. And they said, define that.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say, yeah.
And I said, people who don't understand making decisions about it, and they don't have the appropriate background and understanding of what good education is. If you if you're going to make decisions, I want to boil them down. I mean, I've heard legislators say, I don't understand why I can't rank them like basketball teams. You know, that's crazy. It's like boiling down this highly complex system into something. There's nothing in the research that supports it. There's no statistical measure that would ever be accurate, but they don't care. It's all about the philosophy of it. Do we care if our teachers are properly prepared? I've had some elected people just this summer say to me, oh, that's not really important to me. I just want to know they're a nice person. Well, I know a lot of nice people, but they're not doing surgery on me. Mm-hmm. So how do we keep that incursion out of an understanding that it is a complex system and people study for years to learn the research about what's best to do this?
Well, if that's what the KNEA believes, it just seems to me that in the court of public opinion, your side of the argument isn't being heard nearly as loudly as this other side we're talking about here.
Well, I think one of the interesting phenomena of schools is if I get 100 people out on the street and I say, tell me about your child's school, they'll say, my child's school is great.
Right.
My child's school does
you
a great job.
You hear that all the time.
And then you say, well, what do you think of public education as a whole? Well, they think it's like that old Boston Public show. It must be crazy because that's what they pick up from the media or from elected officials. But the job.
My member of Congress is terrific. It's Congress in Washington
yes,
is all messed
exactly.
up. It's that, we
exactly.
know that person. Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
we it's what you know and what you believe. And if you say to them, does your child have a good teacher? I can tell you 99% of them are going to say, I love my child's teacher. My child's teacher does a great job for them. So it's what we know and the ability of it. But these gentlemen are talking from a state perspective. That's a huge measure. How do you happen in the state? Mm-hmm. What do people know? What are the pieces of it?
Bill, can you tell us a little bit more about the evaluation process itself in Kansas, the kinds of things you guys look at?
Well, we define an evaluation system in Kansas containing two major components. One is the student growth measure, multiple measures, that which students do, and the instructional practice protocols, which obviously is that which teachers do. And we meld those. So what does the performance of students look like as combined with the instructional practice that's being observed by the evaluator, and then how do we take that information to come up with the final performance?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's some complications to it, but we feel real comfortable with it. We see a lot of progress being made. And I have to say, we've been talking around this too, is that, you know, assessment doesn't mean test. Assessment means how do we determine what it is we hope we're accomplishing in the area of student performance or mm-hmm. student achievement. Are we getting there? Are we getting it? One of the problems, of course, with AYP is we had a number, right? People find it easy to look at a number and say, did you hit the mark?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with AYP, if maybe you didn't hit the mark, you didn't hit that number, but the progress was tremendous for any group of kids or a cohort group of kids or individual kids. And so there was a lot of frustrations with educators saying, we brought these children so far, and we may have just fallen short of that mark. And so we're trying to be cognizant of the fact that that's not the only way to determine this. So how do, as Paul mentioned, over multiple points in time, longer yeah. periods of time, how do we determine that students are achieving? And combining that with the observations we're making of classroom teachers and building principals, how are they running their buildings as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Christy.
Well, one of the really important parts that he just brought up, though, about AYP, there were no educators involved in the development of AYP. There were four statisticians locked.
AYP, again, is?
Annual Yearly Progress, mm-hmm. which became a huge federal measure. So everybody had to move forward this much. And the idea was, well, if you're at 20 and by 2014 I want you to be at 100, we'll just say for the next 8 years you have to go up 10%. You know, to a statistician, that makes perfect sense. It doesn't make perfect sense if you talk about children.
Mm-hmm.
There was no discussion of developmental levels, which, by the way, is a huge issue with parents. Parents want you to know that you understand where their child is and that they're growing. They aren't interested in the children in New York State and where they are. They want to know about their child.
Mm-hmm.
So we lost it when we don't involve educators in those policy discussions.
You know, Beth emailed us this, Paul, a question about recognizing that observers can't be everywhere. A Skype unobtrusive video should be a natural option to record teachers' communication, content delivery, etc. How much is that happening these days?
There's some examples of that where video yeah. is being used, where people can see see teachers at different experiences in different classes, different times of the day. That's happening in some, along with live observations.
Yeah. Okay. What else should we know about this process? Anything else that people tend to not believe about the process of teacher evaluation or misunderstand?
I think it would be fair to say that in Kansas, if you look at any profession in Kansas, perhaps educators, the way we have things in place right now, are as professionally viewed and observed, have as an extensive evaluation system, and certainly held to as high a standard as anyone. I mean, maybe that sounds like I'm being a little biased towards educators, but we really do. We're talking about what they do, what their children do. Obviously, with school finance and other issues, education is on the forefront. There's a lot of controversial topics. And so, you know, I think when we look at it, all of us would feel that the educators are working harder than ever, smarter than ever. We just need to continue to give them good quality, timely feedback and support them, because the work that they're doing is so important.
Well, that's a good way to end our conversation here. I want to thank Christy Levings, former KNEA president and Kansas State director for the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards, Dr. Paul Katnick, assistant commissioner, Department of Elementary and Secondary Education in Missouri, and Bill Bagshaw, assistant director of accreditation and educator evaluation for the Kansas Department of Education. Thank you all for a very good conversation here. I really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Very
nice
job.
Conversation.